This text is a fairly uncomfortable one for many of us because it smacks of the first sort of evangelism effort of Jesus. I think it's true that at least at some level, what's going on is that as Jesus moves toward Jerusalem and the cross, he's beginning to figure out how the ministry which he begins, that proclamation of grace, can reach the world. And so he chooses 70 or 72, depending which text you read, and sends them out into the harvest. Now, it's not so much that we object to Jesus sending the 70 out to proclaim to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ into every town and byway. We don't object to that as long as it's not us. I cannot tell you, and I apologize for those of you who've told me this in the last 2 weeks, but I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say, you know, I just can't knock on doors. You know who you are. I know who I am. We're happy for the idea that the proclamation of Jesus Christ gets spread to the world, but we're not sure what our part in it is, what our responsibility is. Like so many things, we're happy to have it done as long as someone whose gift it is does it. I share your discomfort. It's hard for me to imagine myself spending a lot of time knocking on doors and saying, "Did you know Jesus loves you?" First of all, I tend to scare people. You know, I knock on the door and there's a 300-pound man standing there saying, "You know, Jesus loves you." I don't get a lot of good response that way. And yet, in this text, Jesus is sending out his disciples, us. So what do we do? What are we doing? Well, first of all, we're proclaiming the kingdom. And it's not a kingdom far, far away in a distant land in time. It isn't something that we're striving for toward the future alone. We are proclaiming a kingdom which is present. Well, that makes it a little easier. We get to begin by pointing out not to what God will do in the future if you're a really nice person and you give 10% to the church and you're nice to your neighbor, but rather we get to proclaim the healing of the world and God's presence now. So in some ways, the job is much easier already. It's not pie in the sky like some Ponzi scheme. It is the present. And we're sent out with a message, and sent out with a message which is a gift to proclaim grace. Well, Jesus not only sends us out to proclaim a present reality, he only sends us to those places, as it says in the text, where he himself intends to go. I really like that. Jesus isn't expecting of us something that he himself would not do. You've all had those kind of bosses, haven't you? I want you to do. Now, I've never done it. I'll never do it. It's beneath me. But you're going to do it. That's not Jesus. He's a little bit more like the restaurateur that I read about in the paper last week, who has made it a point to do every job, to be an expert in every job in his restaurant. He owns the restaurant, But he can wash dishes, he can prep cook, he can work the line, he can wait tables, he can bus tables, he can act as the sommelier, he can do everything. There's everything to be done in a restaurant, and he can do them. And he does not expect his employees to do anything he cannot do. Jesus sends us out with a message to places he himself intends to go. And that is the world. I think that's remarkably unique. As I thought about the theological ramifications of what Jesus is saying, I was struck by the fact that God sends out Jesus into the place where God intends to go. God isn't some far-off being who doesn't know what it's like to hurt and to be sad or to be joyous. Jesus is there in this text. We're being sent out to humanity, and God becomes human. God knows what it is to be us. He has already been where he will go. And that should bring us comfort as those disciples being sent out, that we're not being sent out by a CEO who's never had his hands dirty, who's never had her time in the trench. God knows what it is to hurt and even to die. The theological significance of that in this text shouldn't be lost on us. And so we're sent out and sent out with a message. And this is the fun part. The message is, I love you. How hard can that be? That's a wonderful message. How many of us need to hear that from our God and from our neighbor every day? The message is not, as one commentator put it, hey, you are no good. Hey, you are a sinner broken away from God and irrecoverable unless you believe what I believe. The message is not, thou shalt worship in this way or be damned. The message of the gospel is not the message of a greater and larger corporation for the Lord. It is simply peace. I love you. Come to me. Know to whom you belong. Now that doesn't seem all that theologically complex at its face, but it calls for a remarkable conversion of our heart. To be loved and to open ourselves up to that love may be the most difficult journey of all. It means setting aside for just an instant our unlovability, our sense of unworthiness. As one theologian put it, it's a little bit of an odd thing. He says, in order for us to understand God's love for us, we have to, for a moment, set aside the idea that we are all that, and instead acknowledge that we are all that for God. So we are sent out, and we are sent with a message. But most of all, we are sent out with a message to be a gift. And that's what happens with the disciples. That's what Paul's talking about. The message isn't just a lot of words. We have lots of words. We've had a little chat in my house recently about an article that appeared in the paper yesterday, debunking a myth that women use three times as many words as men. Well, in a recent study, they found out that men and women use about the same number of words. We just use different words. My wife pointed out that in our household, the male uses at least three times as many words and only says half as much. But it's not just a box of words, you see. We're not sending you out to just mouth empty phrases. I've had it with that in evangelism. I've had it with people coming to my door and spouting scripture to me that they clearly do not understand. The gift, the message, the proclamation is you. You're it. You are the proclamation of that present kingdom, that gift of grace, that peace for the world. And so Jesus says to the 70, when you enter a house, proclaim, peace be with you. And if anyone there receives that peace, it remains. And if they do not, it returns to you. Why? So that you can give it away somewhere else. It isn't your peace anyway. It's God's peace that we're giving away. You become the gift. You become the gift of proclamation every time you share God's love with a simple phrase, a moment of tenderness, acceptance where it's unexpected, joy, empathy, the weeping with a friend. You become peace when you proclaim to the world your commitment for sustainability of the world. When we care about things like, as silly as it sounds, recycling and global warming and those little white turns that we like so much. When we do those things, we proclaim Christ crucified and our love for this world that God made for us and for each other. We become the gift when it matters to us that the highest population of homeless folks is growing in this community to be Micronesians. What saddened me most of all, homelessness saddens me so much anyway, but for the first time in history, in this island, Micronesians outpace Native Hawaiians, in whose home we live, for homelessness. Our life is tied to sharing the aloha, that peace in this household we call the islands, in this place we call the world. I think it's not enough just to talk about it, though. We have to live it out. We have to be peace for the world. That's why we're being sent out, all of us. And we're not alone. There is a wisdom in Jesus' method of sending us out two by two. I don't know about you, but you send me off on a job somewhere, I can find all kinds of things to do. But send someone to hold me accountable, and for me to hold accountable, I might actually get something done. And so here we are, sent out with a message which is peace, and sent out with a message to be a gift to the world, to proclaim Christ crucified, God present, and the kingdom at hand. And sometimes that message will be heard, and sometimes it won't. Jesus describes how the disciples may go into a village and people say, no, we don't want to hear this word. and we wipe off the dust from our feet. But what is the message we leave? Is it, you people are terrible. You don't like Jesus. Or my favorite, y'all are going to burn in hell. My family's from the South. I know how to say that. Hell is a two-syllable word. Hell! And y'all are going there. Now, listen to the text. What happens when the word is rejected? When the gift is not received? You proclaim, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near, even here. The depth and power and grace of this text should never escape the church. It may be time for us to quit shirking our responsibility of evangelism and just sitting comfortably and hoping one or two visitors will grace our presence and like the music. I think Jesus is serious about this task of sharing the kingdom with the world, sharing the gift which we hold so dearly for ourselves with folks who need to hear it, to share our wealth, our place, our time, our love, so that we can be a gift. I'm not asking you to knock on doors, because I don't think that's the best way to share the word anyway. What Jesus asks of you and me and everyone is not to knock on doors, but knock on lives. Just knock on lives. Amen.